Grace shall always be my song of praise. It was grace that bought my liberty. I don't know how Christ came to love me so, but he looked beyond my faults and he saw my needs. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my fallen soul. Yes, he looked beyond my faults and he saw my needs. So I can say this morning, ride on, King Jesus. Ride on, King Jesus. No man can hinder thee. Ride on, King Jesus. We give congratulations to Brother Theo. He said he's moving on up like the Jeffersons. Praise God. He's going to a job assignment in Mobile, and that's a promotion. So we say to him, congratulations. I'm excited today to see my son and my beautiful daughter and her fiance. Amen. You know, y'all know she's finna get married. Praise God. Amen. And we just happy to see them today. And Zara has her guests in the back. She got so many guests, she had put Fred off the seat. Praise God. We just thankful for that today. Zara, happy to have you today and all of our guests. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to invite your attention to the Gospel according to Mark. The chapter is 10. Mark chapter 10. And I want to commence the reading at verse number 35. Again, Mark chapter 10, verse 35 commencing. You have it? Say amen. Amen. We'll ask you as we do to read this text after us. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. He said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? He said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand, the other on the left hand, in thy glory. Jesus said unto them, you know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of? Be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. They said unto him, we can. Jesus said unto them, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of. With the baptism that I'm baptized with, shall you be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand, not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. I want to thank the people of God for reading the word of God in the house of God. And I want you to announce this subject with us from which we shall preach. And that subject is, don't settle for the cheap seats. Don't settle for the cheap seats. Read it again. Don't settle for the cheap seats. When we look at this text today, The emphatic point is a request for seats in glory. Well, a seat is a place to sit. It is a place which one sits upon. A seat also can be a center of power, where one exercises administrative power. And James and John are concerned about seats. Amen. The word of God has something to say about seats. We find in 1 Samuel 21 about verse 10 when King David was on the run. Jonathan his son said to him that it is the new moon and we will miss you, for your seat shall be empty. In the book of Proverbs, when word of God was talking about the work of wisdom, it said that wisdom sitteth at her house and at the high places in the city. Jesus Christ talked about how the Pharisees and scribes sat in Moses' seat. They were exercising power in Moses' seat in Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 6, and verse number 2 rather. And then in verse number 6, he said that concerning the scribes and the Pharisees, that they loved the uppermost rooms and the chief seats in the synagogues, because they love the seats of authority. And then in Romans chapter 14, rather, in verse 10, the Bible says that we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And then in the book of Revelation, it talks about what God says, I know your works, and I know where you dwell, and I even know where Satan's seat is. This account we find in the word of God is an account that always keeps giving. We can never exhaust this text because it's a living word. You see, God's word is not a dead word. It's a living word. It's living and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It will always give because God's word will never come back to him void. David said concerning God's word, it is like a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jeremiah, talking about God's word, he said, it's like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I wanted to hush, but that word was inside of me and I had to simply say something. So this account shows us that life is problematic. What do you mean by problematic, preacher? I mean that in life, people have problems. Life is problematic. And one way we improve the quality of our lives or diminish its quality is by our ability and our willingness to solve problems. Well, where do problems come from? Sometimes we create our own problems. Sometimes we create problems by what we say and what we do. Sometimes we create problems by what we fail to say and what we do. Well, James and John created a problem by the request they made for some seats. They didn't want the cheap seats. They wanted the best seats in the house. They said, in essence, Lord, when you come into your glory, let us sit on your right hand and on your left hand. We're not worried about anybody else, but when the glory comes, Lord, we just want to sit down in the best seats in the house. Amen. So I'm telling you, don't settle for the cheap seats in life. Well, there's three things I want you to see. Number one, I want you to see that some seats are quite expensive. Hello? Some seats are quite expensive. The second idea is in the form of a question. Do you know how much these seats cost? And the third point is a statement. I am willing to pay for these seats. All right. Now, as we live in truth, Jesus put it this way. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And as we live in truth, as we walk in truth, as we deal with truth, we understand that some things in life are more expensive than other things. Is that all right? One of the great questions of life is when we out shopping, well, how much is it? Or how much does it cost? Amen. I don't know, many of us can go in and say at the store, price is not an issue. Just let the good time roll. I don't know many of us who can actually say that. And so some seats are more expensive. If you go to a concert, the closer you are to the action, hello, y'all, the seats are more expensive. You go to a fundraiser, then they have the seats with different prices. And the closer you are to the action, the higher the seats. If you go to a game, there are some seats are higher than the other seats. In the NFL in 2011, the NFL, it said that they have the most expensive ticket prices and packages of all the major sports. That at the Super Bowl in 2011, they said that seats in what's called the 100 section were selling for $9,000 a whack. Is that all right? So I'm telling you, those are expensive seats. 2010 at a Los Angeles Laker Miami Heat game, they said that if you had the seats behind the visiting team, those seats cost $6,000, and you had to at least buy all four of those seats. So when you're sitting courtside, oh, I wish somebody knew what I was talking about. You got to pay a higher price. And at the NBA All-Star game, they said that in 2012 that the seats at the NBA All-Star game were a little higher. They cost about $6,500 per seat. And then just this past April 4th at Reliant Stadium in Houston, Texas, if you attended the championship game in the Final Four, those tickets at the lower tier, Brother West, cost about $3,500 or $3,500. And if you spent $175, you could get seats in the nosebleed sections. Is that all right? If you went to Church Hill Down or the Kentucky Derby at Church Hill Down, which is one of the legs of the Triple Crown, those tickets cost about $4,000 a whack. Amen. And if I'm right, you have to buy about four of those seats. And if you go to a Major League Baseball game, it said that the All-Star game, those seats cost about $3,600 or $3,600. If you got dugout seats, those seats cost you around about $1,800, $1,800. And if you got seats along the third baseline, those seats cost you about $1,500 or $1,500. So really, ticket prices are determined by the simple law, the economic law of supply and demand. But the point I'm trying to drive home to you, my dear brothers and sisters, is that some seats are more expensive than others. And the closer you get to the action, is that all right? Then, you see, that's why they can pay these athletes these exorbitant salaries, because you have to pay so much money, amen, to attend these events. And I guess one of these days when I grow up, Brother Earl, I'll be able to afford these tickets. Is that all right? So I'm saying to you that the cheap seats. My second point is, do you know how much these seats cost? Well, one thing we're glad about is that the Bible tells us that we can make requests. Aren't you glad you can have a little talk with Jesus? Aren't you glad you can tell him all about your troubles? Amen? Aren't you glad the Lord will make a way somehow? Yes, if I walk in heaven's light, shine the wrong and do what's right, I know the Lord will make a way. I tell you, he's a way maker and a strength giver. He's a burden bearer and a heavy load sharer. He's a mind regulator and a heart fixer. Aren't you glad about the fact that the Bible tells us that we can make known? Because I'm convinced everybody needs some help every now and then. Is that all right? So the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with thanksgiving and prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. I'm glad that the Bible says pray without ceasing. Because I'm convinced as I move down life's winding road that I need to talk with heaven every day. Is that all right? I need to put in a call every day and talk to the Lord. I need to say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee, for no other help I know. Lord, if you withdraw yourself from me, oh, whither shall I go? Well, we can make requests because of the finished meritorious work of Christ upon the blood-drenched slopes of Calvary. Jesus fixed it so. As my dear sister, Sister Tameme, talked about, she made a request this morning. Well, Jesus fixed it so that not only my dear sister, but all of us can make requests of heaven. Whenever we make a request, we ought to think about. Well, one day, according to our text, two brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to the master. And you know, if you're going to make requests, you got to know who to ask. You just can't ask anybody. And then you got to know how to ask. Amen. Well, they came to him one day and they said, Master, and you notice in this request how they preface it. They said, Master, we would that you do whatever we ask. What a preface. Somebody come to you and say, look, I want you to do whatever I ask you. And the first thing I'm going to say, wait a minute. What you want? Remember the story about the chicken and the pig walking down the street one day? Y'all know that story, right? The chicken and the pig was walking down the street one day. They met a boy who was hungry. And they said, let's feed him. And the chicken said, what you want to do? And the chicken said, well, let's feed him egg and ham. And the pig said, wait a minute, that's just about a 2-minute involvement for you, but for me, that's a commitment. He can't eat ham without I'm bleeding. Is that all right? Amen. So you gotta think about your request. They said, Master, we want you to do whatever We ask. It appears to me that they really hadn't thought about what was involved with these seats. They wanted, Brother Spreller, they wanted seats in glory. But I'm just convinced, Lord, if I make it in, anywhere would do. I don't have to have the best seats in the house. Just give me a seat in glory. That'll be enough for me. Is that all right? Well, they say, Master, we know that thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And we know that one day you're going to come into your glory. I'm telling you, just one day Christ is coming into his glory and you need to be a part of that. One day Christ is coming into his glory. You don't need to miss that. Is that all right? They said, when you come into your glory, grant us the best seats in the house. We don't want cheap seats. We don't want seats in the nosebleed section. But give us seats, one on your right hand and one on your left hand. It appears that they really hadn't thought about what was involved and connected to these seats. It appears that they simply wanted him to give them the seats. Because in the conversation, there is no exchange. They didn't say what they would do to merit or to earn these seats. They simply asked the Lord to give them these. And I understand that many things we ask the Lord, we don't deserve. We can't merit. I understand that. Amen. When I say, Lord, give me another day, it ain't because I earn it. Is that all right? If God allows the days of my life to roll on, I didn't earn it. Praise God. But he gave it to me because he's a good God. And he is a great God. And so they say, when you come into your glory, Lord, grant us seats. Lord, we want the best seats in the house. Lord, we don't want them cheap seats. We want the seats right up there next to you. We're not like Alley Cat. Y'all know about Alley Cat? So Alley Cat, Latoya was in a cat show. And all these fine breeded cats were in the show. And somebody said to Alley Cat, Alley Cat, what in the world are you doing on that stage with all these cats? So Alley Cat said, look at here, I know I can't win. I'm just glad to be in the show. I'm just, Lord have mercy, I'm just glad to be. But James and John said, no, no, we want the best seats. We hadn't thought about it, but we want the best seats. We're not going to settle for the cheap seats. We want the best seats. Right up there, Lord, next to you when you come in your glory. Well, when the word got back to the ten, it caused quite a stir. They became indignant. Indignant means angry. When you sense that something is unfair or unreasonable. So the rest of the disciples said, now who in the world James and John think they is? All right. How you figure you deserve seats right next to the Lord? It created a problem. And sometimes we get upset when we see people being unreasonable and being unfair. We get upset. We become indignant. It means to be angry because somebody is coming across as being unreasonable and being unfair. And Jesus took this moment to do a teachable moment. Amen. And he said, now I got to teach y'all about greatness. I got to teach y'all about power. Because there's a whole new concept about greatness and power in the kingdom. You can't take your cue from the world. This is a whole different mindset. This is a whole different world. And he went on to teach them about greatness. Here's the final point, y'all, and that is, I'm willing to pay for these seats. Well, you know, in the world, people have agendas. People are promoting agendas. Now, I'm not saying that's necessarily bad. Because some people have agendas that are designed to help, that encourage other people. Some people, in trying to get over, go under. Some people, in trying to get over, make a deal with the devil. But always remember, the devil always plays with loaded dice. He's never going to play fair with you. He is a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a manipulator. He believes in flim-flam and huey and hype and hullabaloo. That's what he deals in. But everybody has an agenda. Well, James and John had an agenda. And we should have an agenda. My agenda is to save and as many people as I can with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody's agenda ought to be if I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody, Brother Ron, he's traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. So let me, as I wrap this thing up, let me go back to James and John. And Jesus, when they talked about this request, we want these seats. We want the best seats in the house. We don't want to settle for the cheap seats. Amen. So Jesus then began to ask. He said to them, first of all, you know not what you ask. See, sometimes, brothers and sisters, we all can make requests without understanding the implications and the ramifications. What does that mean? Ramification means complicated effect. A ramification is an unintended consequence. You ever done something and it turned out in a way you didn't intend for it to turn out? That's called a ramification. Well, they were making requests, and sometimes we all make misguided requests. Sort of like the dog running behind the fire truck. And I asked the question to the dog, when you catch it, what you gonna do with it? Yeah. Amen. The truck running, and Claudia, when he catches it, he just standing up there looking. You didn't caught the truck, what you gonna do with it? He just standing up there looking. He hadn't thought about. Some people complain about what ain't going right, but as soon as they get in power, they don't have a plan. Amen. They made this request. We want these. See, Jesus said, first of all, you do not know. So whenever I make a request to the creator of the universe, the God who flung the stars way out yonder, took a splendid coat of colors, wrapped it around the shoulders of the rainbow. When I make a request to him, I need to think about it. Because I may be making a request. You see, the nation of Israel wanted a king. And sometimes, since I'm not infallible, I can want stuff that's not in my best interest. I could want stuff I can't handle. And so Jesus said, you know not what you ask. And then he said, he asked them some questions. He said, can you drink from the cup that I'm going to drink from? Sometimes people want to find the things in life, or they see how well you're doing, but they don't know the price you paid to build that company. Hello, y'all. They see you riding a new car, your house fully furnished, but they don't know the price you paid. Oh, I wish somebody knew what I was talking about. They don't know that one time your credit was all messed up, but you worked and you labored and paid your bills on time and got your credit score up. Is that all right? He said, can you drink from the cup that I'm going to drink from? Jesus, as Brother Harris read, tells us all, sit down and count the cost. Jesus came into the world to be the Savior of the world, and he knew in order to be the Savior, he had to drink from the cup of suffering. Jesus said, can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? In order to sit in these seats, it's a cup you got to drink from. In order to sit in these seats, there's a baptism you got to be baptized with. And then he told them, but to sit on my right hand or my left hand is not mine to give. It is given to them for whom it is prepared. You ever thought about how it's going to be in heaven, your place in heaven? Amen. And I got a feeling when we get to heaven, we're going to realize we ain't all that. Hello. Amen. Lord, I'm just glad to be with you in glory. Amen. There's a story in the Old Testament about how a king got in trouble. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, pride is in our lives, and it's a bigger problem than we realize. Pride will make me that now that I'm wrong within my heart, I know I'm wrong. Amen. This king was David. He got lifted up with pride, and God punished the nation and punished him. People were dying. So God says, I'm going to give you a way to bring this to an end. I'm going to let you problem solve. I want you to go up to the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. I want you to buy that floor, erect an altar, and offer burnt offerings and sacrifices to turn away my wrath. So King David went up to Araunah's floor, the Jebusite. When Araunah saw him, he welcomed the king. And he said, may the Lord accept you. And so Araunah said to the king, and this is powerful. He said to the king, he needed threshing instruments, oxen. He said, all of this is at your disposal, and I'm giving you all this. And the king said, oh no, I will surely buy of you at a price. Here's what he said. And this is heavy, y'all. He said, because I will not offer burnt offerings to my God of that which costs me nothing. I ain't looking for the cheap way out in trying to serve God. Oh, I wish somebody knew what I was talking about. I'm not looking for the cheap. And here's the bottom line, as I said good morning to you. The bottom line is this, y'all. It's going to cost all of us something to follow Jesus Christ. It's going to cost us something to follow the Son of God. It's going to cost me something to be a Christian. Amen. And I can't take the cheap way out. Remember one time I took the cheap way out. And my mama told me, she said, boy, God rest her soul. Mama told me, if you're going to buy clothes, get some good clothes, boy. Because when you buy that cheap stuff, the thread be coming loose. And you just unraveling. Amen. One time I bought a new car, Bobby Scott. And the guys at the thing said, look, we can put your CD player in and your stuff. And I said, man, that's all right. I got somebody going to do it for me. And I wish I hadn't. I got wires everywhere. but if I had let the folks at the place fix it, I wouldn't have had all that. I'm telling you, sometimes trying to be cheap. Are y'all hearing this? Trying to be cheap will get you messed up. Trying to be cheap in your Christianity. What is it going to cost me to be a strong Christian? It's going to cost me something. What is it going to cost me to grow in grace and knowledge? What is it going to, listen, what is it going to cost me to get over what I'm dealing with right now? You might have some in your life right now you're dealing with. What is it going to cost you to get over it? Trying to be cheap. Trying to give God as little as you can. Praying as little as you can. Reading your Bible. Little as you can. Y'all feeling this? I'm saying trying to be cheap can mess you up. Amen? Don't be a cheapskate when it comes down to serving the Lord. Amen? And what is it going to cost me to stand up to the devil? Amen? It ain't if the devil comes after you. It's when he comes after you. Will you be able to stand up to him? I'm not going to give to God. Church, I wouldn't stand before you and preach a sermon to you that I hadn't paid a price to preach it. Yeah. A preacher might preach it in 35 minutes, but it took longer than 35 minutes to get it together. Hello? Is that all right? It takes a price. You got to pay. And I want to say to you, as I said good morning, don't settle for the cheap seats. Amen. You ought to want the what? The best seats in the house. You ought to want the best in your life. And so you can say, if when you give the best of your service, telling the world that the Savior is come. Be not dismayed when men won't believe you. Oh, he'll understand. He'll say what? Well done, Lord. Don't let me be a cheapskate in trying to serve you, Lord. Is that all right? But help me to give you the best that I have to offer. Let your mind go back across the centuries. Can't you hear John and James talking to the master? Say, Master, we believe in you. We believe in your kingdom. We know that the power and the glory is yours. Is that all right? And when your kingdom come, Lord, let me sit on your right hand. Or let me sit on your left hand in your glory. Is that all right? And Jesus said, there's a cup. Can you drink from the cup that I'm going to drink from? And can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Is that all right? He said, these saints are given to them to whom it is prepared. Is that all right? So Lord, help me Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Is that all right? Lord, help me to make the right kind of request. Is that all right? And the Lord will help me, and the Lord will turn my burdens into blessings. The Lord will turn my worries into worship. The Lord will turn my hardships into hallelujah. The Lord will turn my pain into power. The Lord will turn a setback into a comeback. Is that all right? Lord, help me to make the right kind of request. Is that all right? Every valley shall be exalted, and the mountain shall be made low, and the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places shall be made plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So Lord, help me in my requests not be cheap. Lord, help me to give the best that I have to offer. And when I do, I'll be so glad that I did. And some glad morning. Did y'all hear? I said some glad morning. Oh, some glad morning, Rachel. When this life is over and I stand before him, he said, you won the cheapskate. You gave me the best that you had to give. Is that all right? Is that all right? I don't want to go to a game. I was looking at a game last night, and they were getting beat by 40 points. Well, I lost interest in that one. But I must admit, Earl, when Golden State beat them by 40, I enjoyed that. So I guess it's just your perspective. But the point is, my dear brothers and sisters, stand on your feet. That's the message. Don't settle. Don't settle. Can you say don't settle? For the cheap seats. Say it again. Don't settle for the cheap seats. Don't play it cheap with your spiritual life. Now say these words with me. In every day. Every way. I'm getting better. And better. I am blessed. I'm being blessed. And I shall be blessed. Don't you settle for the cheap seats. In your life, work for the best seats in the house. I want a courtside seat. Is that all right? I want a seat in the 100 section. Amen. Is that all right? I don't want a seat way up there. I'm almost scared to come down. I'm up so high. I need a ladder, Ron. Amen. Settle for the what? Best seats in the house. That's the message today. Don't sell yourself cheap. And if you don't have Christ as your Savior, you're selling yourself cheap. You haven't been forgiven of your sins and washed in the blood of the Lamb. And do you know that the blood of Christ is more precious than all the gold in Fort Knox? It's more precious than all the stocks on Wall Street? Because the stocks on Wall Street can't take away your sin. All the gold in Fort Knox, all the diamonds and rubies can't take away your sin. The only thing can take away your sin is the precious. When something is precious, that means it's rare. Nothing like the blood of Christ. Amen? The blood of bulls and goats can't take away your sin. But the blood of Jesus. Well, Brother Moss, how do I connect to that blood? If you're not a Christian, you're not a member of that church you can read about in the Bible. You do it by faith in Christ. Repentance confession, and immersion in water. And the Lord will add you to his church. And do you know how much it cost him to save me? He didn't play it cheap, y'all. He gave everything. Amen. I watched Kobe Bryant. His last game, Brother Harris. I know you're a big Kobe fan. Just the opposite, y'all. He dropped 60, Earl. And one thing he said, I have no regrets because I've given the Lakers my heart and my soul. And I thought about that. I said, now, that's what I'm supposed to give to Christ. I should give to Christ my heart, my soul, my life. Right. Amen? Right. I'm not saying don't do a good job on your job, but you give Christ the best of the best. Don't play it cheap when it comes down to Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're a Christian and you've wandered away, you repent, you confess, and you pray, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all sin. If when you give the best of your service, link the word that the Savior has come, be not dismayed when men won't believe you. Hey, understand and say, well.